America, it is time to focus on nation building here at home.
We need nation building in America.
We used to be strong.
For every generation, there is a destiny.
Depending on where you set the clock, Americans have been nation building, you might say, for about 230 years, give or take a century. So when the president suggested last week that this country should turn its attentions away from nation building in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and focus on our own backyard, there are historical models easily within reach. Lyndon Johnson's political career was all about nation building, and in the end, the folly of trying to do it while conducting a costly war far away. Johnson's Great Society vision was probably the last truly big stab at nation building in America led by government. In our ongoing series on nation building, we're trying to examine what the term truly means. If you had the money once spent on wars, what would you use it for here in America? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or text us at 69866 with the word take. As a young congressman in Texas, Lyndon Johnson answered that question back in the Depression-era 1930s by bringing electricity to rural Texas. Yesterday, I talked about Johnson's nation-building political career with historian Robert Caro, the author of the multi-volume Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, The Years of Lyndon Johnson.
If you look at what Lyndon Johnson did to bring electricity to his congressional district, which was the most isolated, remote, and poverty-stricken district in the hill country of Texas, you see what government can do. Because this was the people there on these scattered farms and ranches were living like peasants out of the Middle Ages because they didn't have electricity. When he ran for Congress, he was 28 years old, and he was running against much older and better-known opponents. And he ran on this issue. He said, if you elect me, I'll bring electricity. No one really believed that he could bring electricity. It seemed impossible, but he did it. And you saw how their lives were transformed and how government can transform lives.
And, of course, he brought the electricity because he made sure that Sam Rayburn and FDR financed the programs that did rural electrification in his district. So let's fast forward. He takes that nation-building idea, so successful in his congressional career, to the national stage. Would you describe the struggle for the Civil Rights Act as a kind of act of nation-building?
Well, yes, but even more to your point, and in relation to President Obama's speech, John, his whole Great Society was nation building. The Model Cities program, Medicare, Medicaid, those programs, had they been continued as he planned, without the Vietnam War interfering, would have changed a lot in America.
We're talking with Robert Caro, historian and author of the multi-volume Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, The Years of Lyndon Johnson. Describe the scale of the Great Society program, and before we get into the limitations that politically and financially Vietnam represented for that, which it raises a curious irony with the Obama era, tell me about what aspirations Johnson really had with all those programs.
Well, you know, Johnson came out of poverty. And in his first State of the Union, which was actually only 7 weeks after the assassination, he said, this administration, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty. His aspirations were to transform the United States. The estimates then were that one-fifth of Americans were still living under the poverty line. And he intended to change that. And all these programs, Head Start, Medicare, Medicaid, Model Cities, they're all parts of Johnson's attempts to transform, or if you want to use the word, nation build in America.
And, you know, the curious arc that we've traversed since the Johnson era, which you describe so well in your books, really, it seems to me, stands in stark contrast to today. Back in the Johnson era, people thought of government as basically doing this building kind of work, and the national security part of America's identity was more in the background. Sure, the Cold War was a big deal, but now we see that nation building seems like much more of a fringe idea for government, and national security seems to dominate almost everything Washington does.
Well, that's, if I can say so, that's exactly, I think that's a terrific way of summing it up. And that's why when President Obama said it's time to start nation building at home, I said, you know, if it is followed through, you would say he's reversing the trend which started with Lyndon Johnson, because Johnson had this great society, the War on Poverty programs, going in 1964 and 65. But he was simultaneously escalating the Vietnam War. And the second war, the Vietnam War, really destroyed many of his dreams for the Great Society and changed the course of American government.
Personally, thinking about what Johnson staked on those programs of nation building that seems so far in the past today, how much was the setback of the Vietnam War, the fact that it made him reach his limitations, how much did it disillusion him on the idea that government can be the answer?
Well, he was never disillusioned. He always believed government could be the answer. He also knew, however, that the war was destroying his chances of doing what we would call nation building at home. There's a fascinating thing. Over and over again, when you read the minutes and notes of the meetings, the little meetings, on which the real decisions on Vietnam were concerned, you see the following thing. If they make a decision on sending more troops and escalating the war in some way, in the early year, in 1965 and 1966, he's not really asking how much will each thing cost. But by 1967, when someone proposes sending another regiment or escalating bombing, he is asking how much will it cost, because he's beginning to realize that he can't do both. That, you know, he made a speech, John, which is just so much to your point. I'm going to try to quote it. But he said, "I believe we can do both." He meant domestic and the war. He said, "We are a country which was built by pioneers who had a rifle in one hand and an axe in the other. We can do both, and as long as I am president, we will do both." But in fact, that he said that in 1965. By 1967, I really believe he realized you couldn't do both.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's sort of listening to the mind of a biographer there. Wouldn't you love to know if Barack Obama is paying attention to the words of Lyndon Johnson? That was Robert Caro, historian and author of the multi-volume, can't wait for the next volume, Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, The Years of Lyndon Johnson.
Is our world gone? We say farewell. Is a new world coming? We welcome it. And we will bend it to the hopes of man.